So we will be talking about data murals, which is a project that we've been developing, and it's really a new methodology that we'll be presenting on. So we're a bit of an oddball in this session, as we're not really presenting academic research, but it is work with an academic institution. You can draw your own conclusions. The presentation is called Using Art to Build Community Engagement, Increase Data Literacy, and Increase Public Conversation About Local Health Concerns. So we'll talk about each of those in more detail. I have nothing to disclose. And I will allow Rahul to talk a little bit about the MIT Center for Civic Media in a moment. Our co-author on this paper is Ethan Zuckerman, also from MIT. So, as I'm sure you're all aware, as a field, we know more and more about what happens, about the connections between health and where we live, health and where we work, health and where we play. And as we learn about those connections, we're trying to actually address them, not just find out what they are, but figure out solutions. And as we have those discussions of what are the problems, what can be done about them, and actually how can those interventions happen, we're finding that there are many, many stakeholders who are left out of the conversations. And so data murals are really an effort to bring those stakeholders, often those with the most interest when it comes to health, the most vulnerable populations, back into the conversation in an active way. So what is a data mural? Have any of you, tell me, have any of you used art in your health work? A few, okay. I'll be very curious later to find out how or whether it looks anything like what we've been doing. So we think of data murals as a playful way, an intentional but playful way to engage the public and constituents in these conversations. We do a series of workshops. The first workshop is called Story Finding. So I'll show you some photos of these, but in the Story Finding workshop, what we're doing is presenting data that organizations or communities have already collected and have available, qualitative and quantitative, to a group of stakeholders. Often there are organizational members, there are staff, there are researchers, there are also community members who don't have a lot of titles after their names. And everyone comes together to look at the information as a group. And we call this story finding because when we call it data analysis, people get scared. So we want people to feel very comfortable to participate in the process. And what we're really doing is teaching them some different questions to ask and some different ways to look at the data to find stories that are meaningful to them and stories that they would like to tell publicly. By the end of that first piece, they have identified a single story that they feel is the most important story to tell to the public or to their particular audience. So then we do a visual design workshop. I can tell you more about these as we go on. So we do a visual design workshop that I'll tell you about later. We paint, and then we hope that that will lead to an art object that can increase public discussion of the issues. So why do a data mural? I'll give you a bit of an overview, and then I'll ask Rahul to talk about it from the perspective of MIT. We have found that, and I can certainly speak for myself, in the work that I do in health promotion and prevention, particularly with community coalitions, we have members from all different fields, all different sectors, and everybody has information. And the biggest challenge that they run into with that information is how to share it publicly. What do we do with this? We don't just want it to be in an annual report. We want to be able to share it back in a creative, interesting, and engaging way, and also a powerful way if we're going to be doing messaging with that. But there are many people who don't know how to even look at the data, how to read it, how to speak data. And so we're trying to increase people's comfort with information, with data, and we often call data literacy. We want to help them learn how to creatively present the information. We are also hoping to build stronger partnerships and collaborations. And we really want information to be shared, as I said, publicly, not just to sit on a shelf. In the end, we're looking for increased capacity for policy change and advocacy. So, as I said, part of the goal is to actually encourage action, and often that can be done through policy change. And we also want more discussion of the issues. In a lot of cases, awareness is itself an outcome that we're looking for. So, for a possibly more theoretical answer to why are we doing these data murals, I'll introduce Rahul.
Hi. So I work at the Center for Civic Media at MIT, and part of our goal is really to try to think about new ways to help people get engaged in their communities. And we see data, and we look at what people are doing with it, and honestly, most of the time it's just boring, right? So the question is, how can we make this stuff fun and an opportunity to engage people? So just in this room even, raise your hand if you think that you speak data. Right? That's half the room in this room, right? Imagine what that number is for outside of this room. And that's, we see that as a real problem when we have cities making decisions that are data-driven. Suddenly you have this large population that's left out of that. And we see that as a real problem. And this is one of the ways that we're trying to attack that, to try to say, look, we can actually try to take the people that have the information and try to help them figure out more creative things they can do with it, and try to look at the people that the information is about and try to help them get a little bit of literacy about how to work with data and information and try to bring those two camps together and bring people together around data. And that's really the research goal for us, is to try to say, can we actually find new ways to give people fun ways to actually engage around this information and get involved in their community?
All right, so I'll show you in a little bit more detail what we do. I think I already spoke to this first stage, which is really the first step, story finding. So we bring residents together. And importantly, it is really residents of all ages. We welcome young people to participate. It's not really an adult activity, and you'll see why. We have people look at information collected by their own community and find a story. So this is one example. This is a portion of a handout that people are given at the beginning of a story-finding workshop. So it's still pretty dense. It's some traditional charts, and it looks the way data often looks. But then they get to dive in. Looking at that information, they play with pom-poms and glue sticks and rubber bands and Legos, and they really have a chance to build something that represents the information. And that might sound like an intimidating task, but it's not. When people actually sit down to do it, they're always working in pairs or threes, and they find it, and they don't have to represent the entire data set. They just have to build a piece of it. It helps them dive a little bit more deeply into the information and really look at it just to figure out what they can represent or what they might want to show. And there are some incredibly creative applications here. So then after they've had a chance to really play with the information, we lead them through a set of questions that helps them find stories. So there are questions that help them, I'm trying to think of a particular example, and I didn't bring one written down, but there are worksheets that say, that are for particular kinds of stories. So the connection, for example, that is shown in this data is X, this is an important story to tell because blank. And so they have to really think, what are the stories and why are they things that we want to tell? We bring all of those stories together, and as a group we look at them, we group them, we think about how applicable they are and how important they are to the audience that they're trying to reach, and we come up with one story. So then how do we turn that into a mural design? We have a variety of hands-on collaborative art activities that we've been borrowing from friends and other people who work in community art and that we've been developing to help them develop the story. One of our favorites is a collaborative drawing process. So we have people sit at a large table. Everyone has a blank piece of paper in front of them and a different color marker. They start by drawing something, anything that they want to use to represent the story. It can be a circle, it can be a line, it can be a figure. And then they pass the paper to the next person. All of the papers get passed, and the next person adds something to it. It gets passed along until you have a very complex drawing, a series of complex drawings that are generated by the groups. It's not that one person owns one drawing and another person owns another drawing. And then we look at all of those together and we identify elements that are very strong in terms of being able to tell that story visually. So what you're looking at right now is actually, there are photos from a particular process that we ran with the Somerville Food Security Coalition. So Somerville is a city near Boston, and the Food Security Coalition is a collaborative of many different organizations that are interested in issues of food security. They had been gathering data on poverty, data on food, SNAP usage rates, on access to healthy food in a number of different ways and just really didn't know how to share it out. And so we looked at all of those drawings that people came up with together, and the story is there in the center. You can see the story that they wrote together and wanted to tell, chose our favorite parts, and then put it together in one design. So in this case, the painting for this particular group happened on a banner rather than on a wall for a number of reasons, mostly because they wanted to be able to move it around to different events, but also importantly because getting permission for a particular wall in this case was almost impossible. But we invite all of the participants in the process and other community members to participate in the painting process. When it's a large mural like this one, or an even larger one that takes up a whole wall, it really does take quite a bit of time and many, many hands. So it's a great way for more people to become engaged just by painting. They learn about some of the information. So this is a group of people. There was one shift painting this banner. It got very detailed, and here is the finished product. In this case, you can see that there are quite a number of factoids and resources listed on the mural itself. I'll show you some examples in a moment of other murals, other data murals, and many of them are much more symbolic. They don't necessarily have words, they don't necessarily have numbers, they tell the story in other ways. In this case, they decided that it was most appropriate to actually include information, encourage people to walk up close to it and read it and respond and utilize it. So let's see what we have. I wanted to share this slide. This is a note that somebody during one of our story-finding workshops wrote in his notebook and then showed me later. He wrote, "We have never come together with data before, ever." And his point was that he had never sat down at a table with the constituents from their organization, with the other staff from the organization. He's line staff at a Head Start organization. And he said, "We've never sat down with the parent advocates, with my supervisor, with my colleagues, and really looked at this information together." So just doing that was valuable for him. And then there were all of the other pieces of the process that he found useful. So I wanted to share that the topics that we've worked on data murals for so far in the last 2 years range from food security to global health, youth safety, and childhood obesity. We've done a number of pilot projects in the Boston area, but we've also taken the process and the methodology overseas. We've worked in Brazil on one and are working currently with a group of graffiti artists in Nairobi in Kenya to have them use the same process to generate mural designs there. So I'll show you some examples. This is the before for a wall that a data mural was put on in Brazil, in Minas Gerais, Brazil. This is a wall of a school, and the school wanted to bring together different parts of its community. They wanted to have the students think about how they could integrate better with the outside community. They wanted to tell the story of what their institution did. This is the mural that they designed during a one-day design and one-day painting process. It's very tall. You can't tell from this, but a person comes up to the bottom of that brain in the middle. And we have here a photo from a much younger group designed and painted this mural at the Boys and Girls Club in Cambridge, Mass. They were looking at data that the young people had never seen. The organization collects information through monthly surveys from all of their participants, and the young people themselves had never looked at it. And so they looked at the information and they decided to tell a story about how almost everyone at the club feels safe there. And that was something that was very powerful for them when they saw it, and they really wanted to share that back out. And you can see in this case they wanted to have images that told the story. They also wanted to include some quotes. So this is a before for another mural. This one is at a Head Start office. That's the room that people walk into for their intakes. And this is the after. It was a very cartoony mural that they designed. It shows a street, you can see the flags trailing off the bicycle. It represents young people moving through the community and all of the resources that the community has to offer to keep young people safe and healthy. And the clouds at the top were the four primary issues that members of the community identified as being barriers to keeping young people healthy. And so this mural is now used as part of the intake process to actually help start the conversations about what is acting as a barrier for your family. And it also just makes the space a lot more colorful and lively. Here's a before picture from a project done with Groundwork Somerville. It's an urban farm. This particular case, there's the mayor of the city introducing or doing a sort of ribbon cutting ceremony. There's the mural itself without the context, but it's they did an infographic style mural that tells the story of what the organization does and why. And with the last couple of minutes, I want to talk about whether this works, because that's really our big question. We know it's fun for us and for participants, but the question is, are we achieving the outcomes that we set out to achieve? So first, this increased comfort with data and data literacy. I'll provide an anecdote in that case. The young people who worked with Groundwork Somerville on that infographic style mural painted on a fence, they were asked at the end of the process, have you ever made an infographic before? The answer for all of them was no. And we said, if you looked at any set of information now, would you be able to turn it into an infographic? And every one of them said yes. And they all went further in their explanation. Yes, I could look at any information and I could turn it into lots of things beyond an infographic, but that alone for a group of high school youth was a success. In terms of more creative presentation of data, one of the pieces that's most important to us is that the messages and the presentations be audience appropriate. So I mentioned that the Head Start mural that you saw had clouds that had words, but everything else in there was visual. There were some tiny talk bubbles that were cartoonish, but beyond that, it really wasn't data heavy. And that was a decision that happened slowly because we had parent advocates and members of the organization in the room. And they were saying, we are a low literacy, multilingual audience. The people who come in through those doors don't know how to understand statistics. They don't know how to read in many cases. We can't have it be jarring. We have to tell these stories through pictures, and it has to make sense even if you can't read. And so we're hoping very much, we've heard back from them that it has worked, that people walk in and they do understand it immediately. And we want these to include calls to action as well. And that one, we've been told, has mobilized people to access those resources in a really great way. Stronger partnerships and collaborations, I won't get into the details for lack of time, but they have absolutely been created. More visible and public sharing of information. We've had legislators come to the ribbon cutting ceremonies for these and say, I had no idea that so many people were served by that program. We've had people come and say, oh, that's how these two things fit together. So we know that the stories are making sense and that the community is seeing them. We have not been as successful as we'd like so far with doing follow-up evaluation. We have some creative ideas for it, but haven't been able to implement them well. Increased capacity for policy change and advocacy. This is the question about, can people learn to speak data? Can they have the conversations? Can they be at the table? And can they speak the same language that policymakers and organizational folks need to hear to take them seriously and their opinion seriously? And walking out of the story-finding sessions, we're finding that participants do feel more comfortable with data. That's what they tell us on our evaluations. And as far as their ability later, we see them participating in the conversations that they were left out of earlier. And in terms of awareness of the issues in the mural, the murals are intended to be a lasting object. So it's not that the process finishes, you finish the workshop and we're done. Rather, there's an object that becomes a permanent talking piece. So as people walk down that street or as they walk into that space, there's a way to spark the conversation one more time and really keep it going over time. So I will stop there. I'd love to take any questions, I suppose, later, because we're out of time. Should I take? If there are any questions now, I can take them. That's our contact information if you'd like to find out anything else. We're happy to share the methodology.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.